Hey, Chicks in the Office listeners, you can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
This episode is brought to you by Body Armor Zero Sugar. The brand new Zero Sugar sports drink from our friends at Body Armor provides real hydration with no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. And whether you're looking to stay hydrated or recovering from a long weekend, Body Armor Zero Sugar has got you covered with great tasting flavors like Fruit Punch and Lemon Lime. Available in stores nationwide, head on over to Body Armor Store on Amazon and get yours today. This episode is brought to you by Body Armor Zero Sugar. The brand new Zero Sugar sports drink from our friends at Body Armor provides real hydration with no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. And whether you're looking to stay hydrated or recovering from a long weekend, Body Armor Zero Sugar has got you covered with great tasting flavors like Fruit Punch and Lemon Lime. Available in stores nationwide, head on over to Body Armor Store on Amazon and get yours today.
This is State of Emergency.
Let's go get them, Chad.
What's up, everyone? It's Chicks in the Office with Rhea and Fran giving you that Friday energy on a Friday. It's Thursday right now. Big day. Fran's going to see Batman in a couple hours. I'm She's really hyped up about it. She's wearing a yellow sweater that I love every time she wears it. And this room,
sweater makes me happy.
This sweater makes me happy.
This sweater gives me really good vibes. Like, I pull it out when I know I'm ready for a good day.
Yeah.
It feels like a bright day.
Today is a great day.
We had a great day.
I'm feeling
day.
Great today as well.
I know.
Bless you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. This room is 5 trillion
It's
degrees.
Really hot. Yeah, we're not going to... Let's not even talk about it,
but I feel faint.
I will say, I think, and this is also a just a psychological thing, that if you are in a room that is really hot, if everyone just keeps talking about how hot it is, it just starts to feel more hot.
Yeah, that's what's been happening in here.
Yeah.
We've taken notice of how hot it is in here, and now it's only getting hotter. But,
yeah.
Today's a good day. It's Thursday. We're leading into Friday. It's March. The season is going to change soon. Like, we are now, dare I say
it's basically summer.
It's basically summer at this point. That's why I was walking around yesterday. I was like, wow, March. It's almost summer.
It's, we're only a little bit out from daylight savings. So we'll get, once it starts to get, once the days start to get longer and the sun's out longer, game changer.
When
game
I,
changer.
It
I
is.
Think it's, I think it's, in 2 weekends, not this weekend, but the following weekend.
When I was really depressed, I loved when it got darker earlier.
Checks now, out.
Yeah, it does check out. Now, I hate it. I'm like, I want the sun to be out all night long.
I know.
Where is it out all night long? Sweden?
If you go anywhere
Norway.
Really north.
Norway, yeah.
Alaska.
Alaska in the summer.
Really?
Yeah.
Alaska.
It's weird. I don't know if I'd like that all the time, but just to experience.
Right. That's like when they... they always talked about that when they filmed The Proposal. It's like, remember when they go and The Proposal, and for them to sleep, that they have to bring those big shades
down? I've
never
seen The Proposal.
You've never seen The Proposal?
I've seen bits and pieces, like when they're dancing all together.
So swept, drop down, Bob.
Yeah, I know that part.
Betty White?
Yes.
You've never seen The Proposal?
No.
Oh, God. That and Sweet Home Alabama.
I've seen now, I think I've seen Sweet Home. Have I?
I don't think you have. I don't think you ever
I'll
actually
watch
watched it.
One of them this
Noah,
weekend.
Noah, have you seen The Proposal?
Yes. Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah. Sandra
I don't
Bullock.
Have
Sandra
many yeah. plans this weekend, so I plan on doing a lot of TV watching.
But The Proposal is a great movie.
Can I say something about Ryan Reynolds? A take I've been living on.
Yeah. It's. I will say this is not a hot take. I do. I think it's.
Oh, you agree with it?
I think it's actually pretty universally thought.
Really?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
Interesting. So you're telling me I don't have any original thoughts.
No. I think you are right.
Okay. Thank you. I thought you were going to yell at me for it.
No.
I think,
love Ryan Reynolds, but I think
you're
right.
Yeah, no, I love Ryan Reynolds too, but I think Ryan Reynolds plays the same character in every movie he's in. I think he comes across the same way every single time.
Earlier in his career, it's changed a little bit recently where he's been taking different roles, but yes, there
has
is,
he been taking different roles?
Yeah, a little bit. He's got some other stuff, but there he is always like a very, it's a lot of sarcasm, dry humor. It just seems like it's just him.
Even Deathpool.
Because it seems like
Did
he's
you say Deathpool?
Deathpool.
Deadpool.
Deadpool, yeah, no.
What's your favorite Ryan Reynolds movie? I know mine.
I mean, yeah, I know you were going to say Just Friends.
The Change Up is a good one.
I honestly, like, do think the first Deadpool might be it.
I was going to say that, too.
Definitely maybe.
Because I don't think I was really expecting to love Deadpool, and then yeah. I thought it was funny. Can you pull up his resume? Because I'm kind of forgetting
his
how
resume?
Many movies.
I mean, he's like, in a fucking
you know,
ton.
Did you like Safe House with Denzel?
I never saw that.
I never saw it.
See, and that's also what I think. Like, I think the ones that I see, like, that I choose to watch, he plays a lot of the yeah. same kind of people.
Swing
and the
swing.
Ones that we, like, don't know.
Wait, did you see Life?
No.
That one. Wilder.
Ryan like Reynolds.
Okay, so this is all early on. Definitely maybe it's 2008. Just Friends was 2005.
People love that movie, Waiting.
I don't know that one.
I've never heard of that.
Green Lantern. Yikes, that was a bad movie. Million Ways to Die in the West. Oh, uncredited.
So yeah, his favorite movie for me might be Deadpool.
Selfless Deadpool. Yeah.
Even though I said Deathpool.
Deadpool. Yeah, I feel like it might be too. There's a lot. He's credited for a lot of like Deadpool. The Hitman's Bodyguard I never saw. Life I never saw.
Wait, you've Deadpool seen Just too, Friends, yeah. right, Rhea?
Just
yes.
Okay. You ever seen The Change-Up?
Yes. Pokemon, Detective Pikachu.
Great movie.
Great
film.
I actually really liked Free Guy.
So should I watch Free Guy?
I haven't seen. Okay.
People liked Free Guy.
But
I think that's
I liked
what I'm talking
Free Guy
about
a lot more than
most,
I thought.
That's the most Ryan Reynolds character that there is, I think.
Yes, but in Free Guy, it's not necessarily that same. He's a little different in Free Guy, I would say.
Okay. Because
he's playing like a video game character.
Okay, and in the Green Lantern and Deadpool, he's...
Green Lantern... No, video game. Like, he's, like, yeah. in a video game.
Oh, okay. Got
like,
it.
Not like, a superhero.
Right, right,
like,
right.
he's,
oh,
like,
he's
actually
in Adventureland.
Oh, yeah, he is in Adventureland.
Yeah.
You know, Adventureland.
Great movie.
Only I would understand.
You can relate?
Yeah, Adventureland's, like, 10 minutes away from my house.
Oh, I thought you meant, like,
well, I don't know if I
want park.
To get that information out there. I mean, 10 minutes away from my house, somebody's going to be able to find me. Yeah. I don't even know if it's exactly 10 minutes. It's just very close. We went every single year at the beginning of the year, K through 8.
I didn't even know it was a real place.
Yeah.
It's a great place when you're a kid.
I feel like I could see you working there.
Why not?
No, why not?
Yeah, no, I know. Why not? I could see myself working there, too. If I just want to fall back on Long Island roots and say mm-hmm. I'm done with all this, and I would probably go work as a pharmacy tech again or go apply at a job at Adventureland.
Pharmacy tech.
Yeah.
Just go back, way back.
Look at me.
Yeah.
I love it there. I went to go visit them the other day.
Oh, were they happy to see you?
Yeah, I get chatting and stuff. You know, I go to pick up my birth control every month there, and we get into some chats, and I see all the new people filling my place. I actually went the other day, and
passed
they were like,
the baton.
They were like, we always tell her she looks like you. And this like other pretty girl that was working there. I was like, what a compliment.
not other pretty girl.
No. I'm saying like she was a pretty girl.
Yeah.
So
yes,
in my
yes.
head, I was like, I take that as a compliment.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
All right. We have anything
you
else?
You cut me off there?
No. I'm trying to think. If I forget. I don't think I had anything else really to.
Some housekeeping?
To add on.
We got
some housekeeping.
Break in a couple weeks.
Yeah, Noah's going
like
to London.
No, I was just going to say no episodes in terms of housekeeping in a few weeks.
Noah's going to London.
Yeah.
He invited me.
I feel like we didn't need to make people sad.
All right, fine. We won't talk about it.
Forget it. Norman's been, if everyone's wondering, he's. It's been something else with the parents.
It's been tough.
My dad calls me 7 times a day on FaceTime
to see him.
And the other day,
I'll be honest, I think that might make Norman even more sad.
Okay, well here's
you know?
Actually something that
like I feel like he keeps hearing your dad's voice and it's probably throwing him off.
It is throwing him off, and he gives them a side eye. My dad called me the other day. He goes, I told mom. We need to take him next year. There's no question. She's driving down with us. Like, we can't do this anymore. I can't be apart from him anymore. He's like losing his mind. But my dad keeps calling Norman, like he keeps referring to himself as daddy to Norman.
Oh, no.
Right?
Nope.
And he's
nope.
like, daddy misses you. And I'm like, and then my mom, and then this is where it gets confusing.
Yeah.
My mom refers to herself as grandma. So I'm like, okay,
yeah.
no. We need to figure it out. Either you guys are both mom and dad to him, or you guys are both grandma and grandpa.
Yeah.
I can't be Norman's mother while my dad is his father.
Nope.
That just can't happen.
Can't happen.
But that's to show how much they really love him, that they're talking to him like he's the grandkid, yeah. Also the son.
My dad does that too with our dogs. He says daddy also. You know what my dad does? You know what my dad does?
It's cute, but then
every time I go visit them and the dogs run out, he goes, "Oh, I told you. I told you," to the dogs. I'm like, "What?" He goes, "Oh, I told him their sister was coming. I said it all day." He looks at them and he goes, "Your sister's coming? Yeah, for Justin's coming. Your sister's coming. You excited? You excited?"
They get all excited.
Yeah. And then when the dogs run out and they see me after he just goes, "See, I told you guys.
Like, daddy told you sister was coming.
I told you guys she was coming."
Yeah, my mom does that too.
It's like everyone becomes like it's a sibling or it's a kid. Yeah. I smoked last night for the first time in like days. I have to point that out.
First time in days.
It's a long time for me.
It used to happen way more.
I used to smoke multiple times a day, and so people are shocked now. People also always assume I'm high now because that was the reputation I built for myself. Yeah. And now on Cutting Stems on YouTube, I just see like. Or on TikTok, whatever, like, Rhea's zooted right now. It's like, no, I'm actually really not. I don't smoke before
just
the podcast
high on life,
anymore.
Baby.
Yeah, just those vibes. But I don't smoke before the podcast anymore, and I smoke way less. But I smoked last night for the first time in a couple days, and I started having a full-on conversation with Norman, and that's when I knew that this is actually better for me.
Yeah.
Because when I smoke all the time, multiple times a day, I don't really get high.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm just smoking to smoke at this point.
Yeah.
Last night I was really high and I was like, this is awesome. Like, I'm having a great conversation with Norman.
Yep.
And it felt great.
That is very nice. That's what was I going to say about Norman? There was something else I wanted to say. Shoot. It was dog related. And now I totally forget. Okay. I don't need to talk
Anyways.
About it. Anyways, we can move on. We have a great show.
Yes, we do.
We have tons of great topics. We got Clayton. We got Trent.
We do have Clayton and Trent.
Yeah.
The big two.
The big two.
They're two big guys.
One and a half men.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
Two big guys.
I'd like to shake your hand after the show. All right, let's get into...
That could be a
little spinoff?
That could be Clayton, Trent, and Noah's show.
One and a half men?
Two and a half men.
Two and a half men.
Who was the two?
Clayton and Trent. Clayton.
No. That was my joke. You can't just turn it around on me.
Oh, man.
Why did I become the half? I'm taller than Trent.
Oh, man. Oh, also
you are
would
not
just like to
Trent.
Say.
I think I am.
No, you're not.
You're
we're
not.
The same
Trent's
height.
Trent's 5'11". I mean 5'11 and 3
We asked him
quarters.
Today. 5'11 and 3 quarters. I would like to say something.
5'11
and 3 quarters. I don't know what.
What?
I don't know what to say. 5'11 and 3 quarters.
Same height as my dad.
Oh, yeah. Same height as your dad. Yeah. Right. Same height as your dad. I forgot you did say that like 4 times. This is what I wanted to say. I forgot at the beginning. Everybody was freaking out about Outer Banks is back in production. They're all filming. They're all posting pictures. Going into season 3, would just like to say, we still haven't gotten the call.
Doesn't look like I ever will, so doesn't look like I'll pump the show up as much as I did the first
still
season.
Still haven't gotten the call.
And is that spiteful of me? Yeah, but I'll do it. Like, I put my entire being into promoting that show. Literally everything. I put my life on the line. I say it every single time. I put my life on the line. My whole life revolved around that show. I pumped it the fuck up. And yes, that show was going to blow up regardless. I'm not taking all the credit.
Yep.
Obviously, that show was going to be huge.
Yep.
But did all of our listeners start watching that show because of us? Yeah.
A lot of them.
So it's kind of bullshit that nobody's called me. They don't believe I have the chops. One day I'll show them when I'm a big movie star.
Yeah. What are the guys that run the brothers? Fine, is that their last name? What are the guys that they always post? Josh. What are their names?
Who?
Jonas.
What? Pate.
And Josh, Pate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The director.
Yeah, those guys.
Yeah.
Where are you at?
Where are you guys at?
Come on. Give us a shot.
I've been knocking for years now.
Give us a shot.
Literally fucking anything.
Just anything.
Anything. One line. Like, nothing. Standing in the background.
Yeah.
Like, it's
you could
crazy
have a,
to me.
You could have a Trent in the beer garden moment.
I'm really not asking for anything at all. You're getting these randoms off the street that nobody cares about. And I'm not saying anybody really cares about me, yeah. but would people be talking about us being on Outer Banks? Yeah, they would. To put it just bluntly, people would. It's the same thing, Trent being on The Bachelor. People go nuts on Twitter for Trent being The Bachelor. Yeah. These guys aren't seeing it, though. So what am I going to get on my knees and beg? No more. I'm just not going to hype the show up as much as I did before. That's it.
But you're not mad.
No, I'm not mad. I actually think it's funny.
But you're not mad.
No, I am mad. I am mad. Straight up. I will say openly I am mad about it. Thanks for riling me up.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry.
It's all right. It's just fucking bullshit. The Get Rian Outer Banks season 2 was trending on Twitter. It was trending on Twitter. What do? They ignore me.
Yeah.
It's like I'm a piece of fucking bologna to them, and I like bologna. Yeah. But it's like I'm nothing. I love bologna and cheese and pickles on a sandwich.
Bologna and mustard.
With glazed chips, mayonnaise. I love it all. Anyways, I'm fucking pissed off now. All right. And I know, here's the thing, because I feel like I have to go back and forth and be like, oh, I know it's not right for me to do that, blah, blah, blah. But like, I'm pissed off.
Yeah. Totally fair.
I love them all still. The cast is great, and I'm excited for the show, and I think it's going to be a great season.
I do love all
Happy
of them.
Happy to see all of them getting along.
It put a smile on my face seeing the picture of all the pictures of all of them back together.
You
want to
know what put a smile on my face? Seeing the pictures of them all together and me photoshopped in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways, let's get into the topics for today's show. We got some engagements. Joey King is engaged, and so is Sydney Sweeney. Kim K is officially single, as well as Kanye putting a claymation Pete in his new music video. Sophie Turner and Joe Jonas confirm we're having a second child, so Fran is off the hot seat. And we're going to talk a little bit about Euphoria season 2, because we did not talk about the finale, and we want to talk about it. And of course, we have a great interview with Clayton and Trent. So let's get into it, starting off with the engagements.
We are also in the interview, just want to say.
Oh, yeah.
Because that kind of
knew that.
I know, but the way it was like...
Like we a sit down, like, 60 minutes.
It's just
interview.
Like a yeah, it's just Clayton and Trent.
Yeah, no, we're in it. My hand's itchy.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
We got some engagements this week. Joey King, all grown up. Our sweet Joey King, who we've watched grown up over the years. She's engaged. And now Sydney Sweeney, she's rocking reddish strawberry blonde hair like Francesca had a couple of weeks ago. And she's also engaged.
I'm still trying to keep it that color. It doesn't last very long. It's hard to keep it that way. But... she's engaged. She's been dating her boyfriend, Steven Pite, I guess I'm going to pronounce his name like that, for like 2.5 years, I think. He is a producer. I believe they met on while doing The Act, because he was the co-executive producer on The Act.
The Act was great. The Act really was great. Creepy.
Remember how much we loved
The
Act?
We were really into The Act.
We were
but
really
we also
into
were
the
really
act.
Afraid to watch it alone, but it was worth it.
Yeah. So they have been together for a while. He proposed on 2/2/22. Very, you know, romantic. Very nice.
Why didn't anybody propose to me on that date?
Yeah. It's a great question. That's a great question. So he, co-executive producer on The Act. He's directed episodes of Briar Patch and Channel Zero. He wrote and directed the film Uncle John, which came out in 2015. He served as a consulting producer on Night Flyers in 2018. Which was, I guess it was based on a short stories from George R. R. Martin. But he's got, like, he basically does everything, it seems. On his IMDb, it says he's done cinematography work, digital imaging technician, editor. So it seems like he's just a jack of all trades in Hollywood, which does check out. Like, I feel like Joey King is so deep into the Hollywood world, just because it's just she's been acting since she was so young, that they have a ton in common. He is 30, she's 22. It's jarring because she's 22, and I think it's always a case by case basis for me. Like, sometimes I'm like, ah, too young, what are you doing? But for some reason, I didn't have that reaction with her because I just think she has been in Hollywood for so long that 22 isn't really 22. Like, she's been acting since she was so little I just feel like it made her grow up so fast. She's probably so much more mature for her age.
Joey King has been around the block.
Yeah,
like, she's
exactly.
been around for since she was a young little girl in Sweet Life of Zack and Cody.
Yeah.
She's been around for so long. She's probably grown up tremendously. She's probably ready to retire at this point. She's 22 years old. She's been in the game for far too long.
Yeah.
And it's 22, 30, I don't really think that's that crazy.
Your opinion always changes when it's younger, right? Like, when I'm 22 and 30, you're like, oh, 22, okay. But you don't really, like, 35 and 43, you're not like, oh, God, how could they?
Yeah, like, yeah. It's just because she's 22 and you're like, wow, she's getting engaged at 22. Nowadays, people don't get engaged till later on.
Yeah.
But, like you said, she's grown up so fast that 22 to her is probably 42.
Exactly. And she... We love her. We think she's so great. She has, honestly, one of the coolest rings I've seen in a while. Like,
very different.
So unique, so different.
You know what I don't get? The Joey King slander and hate.
There's Joey King slander and hate?
Oh, yeah. Joey King. There's Joey King slander on TikTok. People slander Joey King.
Why?
I don't know.
Because she's, like, a little goofy?
Yeah. And, yeah.
See,
and unfortunately,
like
sometimes
that.
The way she looks, they make
the
fun of.
Oh, that's
I don't
so
like that.
Mean.
I don't like it at all. No, I know. We're big Joey King fans.
And she's so dedicated to her art, I feel like, when the act and she had to shave her head and everything. And, like, that's, like, that's
she's
that's
a great
tough.
Actress.
That's tough. Like, when you're in that, your stage of, like, growing your hair back and all those things, she is a great actress.
Yeah, she really is.
I always think about her that she's in Dark Knight.
Or Ramona and Beezus.
So I, you know what? I took a little trip into her Instagram comments at the announcement because she has worked with so many amazing actors and actresses that in her, I was just looking to see all the people that congratulated her. And it's an array of like very famous people. It's so many, and it cracked me up because there was
Godwin right? is Hannah G's last name.
Godwin is Hannah G. Okay. When she posted like, oh my God, congrats. Like, and that's my immediate thought was like, oh, Ramona and Beezus.
Yeah.
Great
really
movie.
Nice to see. I haven't watched that movie in a long time, but man, that was a great movie.
I love Josh Duhamel.
Selena Gomez, Joey King.
Yeah.
Doesn't get better than that.
It's a very cute movie. So she looks, you know, super happy, very excited for her. And it's honestly sort of it is a little similar to Sydney Sweeney. Joey King's fiance is not an actor, but he is in the Hollywood world. Mm-hmm. Sydney Sweeney's fiance is not. And the difference too, you know, Joey posts on Instagram, so 100% confirmed it is true. Sydney Sweeney, we all saw these pictures of her wearing a massive engagement ring.
Massive.
And everyone was like, holy shit, is she engaged? We have no confirmation from her personally, but People Magazine did put out like that they could confirm that she is engaged. So we're going to go off that.
What's the age difference between them? Isn't he like 34?
13.
Oh, 13 years?
She's 24. He's 37.
Oh, these girls are growing up so fast.
Yeah. And they have been dating since apparently 2018.
What if I started dating a 35-year-old? You'd be alarmed.
I don't think so.
I would.
You would?
I would just be like, what?
Yeah, yeah.
But this is the thing. I don't really think I would as much because I put you in that category of someone that's grown up very fast.
That's true.
You know?
I think it's too old.
I always think about...
Yeah, look, it's your personal preference. If you think it's too old, then it's too old.
35, and you're going to be... How old are you right now?
24.
So then you'll be in your 20s. He'll be 40 at some point? Like...
Yeah.
That's weird.
At some point. Yeah, at some point you will be.
That's what I'm just saying. Like, think about, like, down the road, like, when he's 50 and you're still in your 30s. Like, it's just weird. Not weird.
Look, it's not weird for everyone.
But I feel
it
like...
It happens more than you think.
You're a protective little bro.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly
sure.
What it
yeah,
is.
Go with that.
It looked at me and said, yeah. Yep, that's the answer.
That's definitely the angle I was working. So this, I think, shocked a lot of people. And, like, of course, there's the cries heard around the world of all the young... men who love Sydney Sweeney. My brother was like nonstop tweeting. I was like, calm down.
Yeah, like what? These guys really thought they had a shot. I saw a clip of Logan Paul being like, Sydney Sweeney does things to me. And it's like, I think Sydney Sweeney is, and I actually like Logan Paul now. There was a period of time where I didn't like Logan Paul. I do like Logan Paul now. it's just like Sydney Sweeney is definitely not giving Logan Paul the time of day.
No, and I also think that the regular guys out there had, you know, a little bit more faith because she is on record saying that she would never really want to date anybody in the industry, acting, music, like nothing, because she likes to be able to be just Sid. Like, she doesn't want to be, like, worried about that. So they've been linked since 2018. They're very, you know, they're very under wraps. I think a lot of people were surprised to hear she even had a boyfriend when she got engaged.
Right. Everyone was like, is she really dating him? It's like, it's been going on for a while now, I think.
Yeah, exactly. So this is what she said to Cosmo in February. When she did her cover story, she said, "I don't date people in the spotlight. I don't date actors or musicians or anyone in entertainment because I can just be normal Sid that way and it's easiest." So he is reportedly 37. We don't, this is another thing, like, there's not a big, he doesn't have a big internet presence, this guy. So we don't really know. But according to Cosmo UK, Jonathan lives in Chicago. His family owns an Italian restaurant, but I've also seen reports that his family owns like all different kinds of businesses in Chicago. So they're very entrepreneurial in Chicago. And yeah.
Linking up with someone that's owns a restaurant, good move.
And an Italian restaurant.
An Italian restaurant, can't get better than that.
Divino? That's an Italian name. Yeah.
Would you ever open up a restaurant?
Would I?
Yeah. Either of you. Italian restaurant?
If I applaud anyone who opens up a restaurant, it is so much work. It is so hard.
I really want nothing to do with everything that goes into it, but if I'd put money into one.
Yeah. If I had like unlimited funds, then yes.
Yeah. If I could.
No, but Pete Davidson is with like, that the place that they just opened, Pebble Bar, is with like Jason Sudeikis, like a ton of other actors.
If I could,
like,
put no work into it, or lift a finger, and just put my money into it, and it's,
and
like
you're
partially
like, you just
own
walk
it.
Around,
yeah, like, yeah, like you show up, you eat for free, yeah, like that kind of thing. Then yes,
that would be sick.
Yeah, it would.
Yeah, because honestly, like it is. I truly like the people that run restaurants. Big.
You don't get a day off.
So
is Pebble
fucking
Bar
hard.
Like really exclusive? I saw Robert Pattinson just had like a Batman.
They did
party
their
there.
Part. They did their after party there at for the Batman premiere. I don't know. I don't think, like, I think you can just walk in. I think it's just a bar.
Yeah, I feel like so many people probably go just.
It's in
to
Rockefeller
see him.
Center. It is. Oh, there's a lot of people there at this party. Davidson is an investor in the bar, along with a slew of stars such as Nicholas Braun, Justin Theroux, Jason Sudeikis, and Mark Ronson.
Nicholas Braun is always involved with something.
Yeah, he's got Rays. Yeah. Like, he's, like, clearly he does.
I gotta get to Rays.
And so it's run, I think it's all that group, though. So it's run by, I'm reading this from page 6. It's run by Carlos Curarte. I'm saying his name wrong. And Matt Kligman, the team behind Downtown Hotspots, Rays, and the Jane Ballroom and Rooftop.
Jane.
The Jane.
Yeah, the Jane.
So these are, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's where Pete Davidson is just, here's some money.
Yeah.
I'm an investor.
Does he really have it like that?
Pete? Yeah, I'm sure he does.
Like, how much do you get paid to be on SNL?
It's not even just from SNL, though. Like, just being
movies.
Him in general, he probably gets
movies,
paid randomly.
Commercials.
He probably
just did a freaking Super Bowl
they
commercial.
They probably just throw money at him because he's Pete Davidson. They're like, all right, we'll just pay this guy for being alive
at
this point.
He probably made a nice amount just from that one Super Bowl commercial he did.
I must have missed that one.
The Super Bowl commercial?
Yeah, he was in a Super Bowl commercial.
He did, he was in a tie-dye sweatsuit from
commercials
Brown
make
Girl.
You a lot of money because... Yeah. It, depending on which one it is, how many times it's played, you just keep getting paid.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it was for mayo. Hellman's mayo.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. Mayonnaise.
Interesting.
Love that.
So yeah, there's not much more I feel like to say about Sydney. I think, like, because it is a very private relationship, there's not much to say except for
good for them.
For them. I mean, for some context, I said to, we've been just realizing on the group chat that on Snapchat that anytime Rhea's like done with a thought and she doesn't really have anywhere else to go, but she needs something to say to wrap it up, she just goes, good for them. Or good for her. For him.
I did it maybe every day this week.
Every day. She
because
says.
I'm the third opinion. So by the time it gets to me, it's like, what else is there left to say? I don't really care that much.
You
good
said
for
it,
them.
You said it about Joey King. Yeah. You went, good for her.
I was like, oh, fuck, I did it again. I did it, I think, every day this week. Yeah, I did it.
For Sophie and Joe, good for them.
And we're going to be talking about Sophie and Joe this podcast, and what will I say?
Good for them. Exactly. Just good for them.
Kim Kardashian is officially single. Good for her.
Good for her.
Good for Kim K. Yeah. She's officially single. Listen, we say this every single time we talk about this topic. It's getting tiring, but new things keep happening. She's single. That's cool. We can get through that. And another thing, I don't really want to talk about this for much long because it's you can't say anything else.
You just like lost your words there for a
because
second.
Because I can't take talking about this anymore. Yeah. I'm actually sick of it. Kanye West put out a music video for his song Easy, and there was a claymation Pete in there, and he's burying Pete, and he's doing all these decapitating his head, doing all these crazy things, and then at the end, it's like a warning to Pete Davidson at the end of the thing. And this is a problem. Whenever you decapitate somebody's head, it's going to be an issue. Remember when, Kathy Griffin. She decapitated Trump's head. And even though people hate Trump, they're like, you can't decapitate.
Nope,
when he was the president, you can't decapitate the president's head. It's seen as a threat.
Yeah.
This is now... It's seen as a threat to Pete Davidson. Frank the Tank was screaming at his desk.
This is where we're at with a terrorist attack. This is where we're at. That Frank the Tank at his desk saw the clip and was like, you guys see this Kanye West stuff? And we're like, yeah, Frank, it's crazy. He said, I think that's a terroristic threat.
Yeah, a terroristic threat he called
it. Is what he called it. Because it's so insane. Like, give it up. Just give it up.
What are you going to do to the guy?
It's not, like, at this point, it's not...
Nut even, up or shut up.
Like, that's not even art,
kidding. I
right?
Like, I do not want him to do it. That was a complete joke. I really need everyone to realize that.
It's like, it's not even art at this time. Like, it's just... It's very uncomfortable and gross. And if I was Pete Davidson, I would think about calling my lawyer.
Me too. And here's the thing. Obviously, I just don't know how anybody could be on Kanye's side at this point. It's like, from an entertainment factor, yes. You could say that all you want. But... it's actually scary. Like, it's concerning. It's weird.
Now he's posting about his new girlfriend, whatever she is.
These girls are so stupid when they're with Kanye and all he's doing is posting about Pete Davidson.
I think they just all want...
No, they just want the attention, obviously. Yeah.
I think everyone now is going to want the Julia Fox bump, but I don't think that's going to happen for all the...
It's not going to.
Julia Fox was the first and they made the biggest impact. I don't think it's going to be like that every time.
It's so played out. How do you... disrespect yourself like that. Date Kanye West as he's screaming about how he wants Kim back. And
I think in your mind, you're just like, I'm using him.
Right, but I know, but that's sad to me. Like, the whole thing is just sad, all of it. It's almost like, hey, Kanye, why don't you just go back to the basics? Your music videos, worry about that, and don't include Pete Davidson, and people are going to like you because all I want from Kanye is his music.
Right.
I love Kanye's music.
We're reaching Leave Kim Alone territory big time.
No, I have not watched the third episode.
The third one, it's actually very sad because you just kind of watch him become this person that he is.
So on the marital status front, Kim is now single. They had a hearing on Tuesday. She zoomed in. Her lawyer was in court. Kanye apparently fired his third divorce attorney the day before, so there was a new one in for this. And the judge did grant her request to be ruled legally single. A source told People magazine that Kim has considered herself single for a while. She's relieved that it's official, though. She isn't looking back and wants everything about the divorce to be final. She is in a very happy place right now. It's taken her months to get to this point. She feels good about life. Her kids are great, and she loves dating Pete. She isn't seeing anyone else. She is having the best time with him. I thought this was really nice. It just, like, shows that we just need... It's never warranted what Kanye was doing, but Pete has done nothing to deserve this. And I know I've seen some people saying, like, Pete made jokes about Kanye and his mental health on SNL, so why can't Kanye make jokes about Pete? It's like, sure, you can make jokes, but how is burying the guy alive and, like, is that a joke? Because it's not very funny. Like, that's not...
And he was also
taking it too
far. Already threatening about physically harming him, and then Kim had to reach out and was like, don't...
Yeah, you gotta stop.
You gotta tell people not
to do
this. It's
like, actually, yeah. So, James Gunn, the director, tweeted... For the record, Pete Davidson is one of the nicest, sweetest guys I know. A truly generous, tender, and funny spirit. He treats everyone around him with respect. And Kim liked the tweet.
Good. standing by her man.
Yeah.
You like to see that.
Go Pete.
We're living in a crazy world where we're like Kim Kardashian is standing by her man, Pete Davidson.
I know.
I'm sick of talking about it. I'm so sick of talking about it.
I know. Maybe something else will happen this weekend.
Maybe on Monday we won't have to mention that.
Maybe. All right, guys. I don't want to jump the gun because it hasn't actually come from Joe and Sophie. But this is what happened the first time around. They didn't, you know, there was really no confirmation because they keep that part of their life very private. But now, you know, the magazines are starting to report that Sophie is pregnant. Us Weekly posts about it. Page Six posts about it. It hasn't made its way all the way through, I feel like. Because once again, Joe and Sophie will probably never confirm it actually for themselves. So you don't see it on some of maybe like the more reputable sites, because I do think it started from In Touch. So I wouldn't, you know, you can't really take it from that. But it does feel like it is being talked about a little bit more, that they are expecting their second child. And I think that's what's happening.
I think so, too. And I think you should be absolutely relieved that you don't have to sit here and do a public apology to the world and Sophie Turner.
I agree.
I think when we all saw the news,
although, I don't want to knock on wood because
I mean,
she's pregnant. Yeah.
She's got to be. Mm-hmm. And once again, big apology coming if not.
What? Yeah. But like I said,
I think she has to be, because if she wasn't, she'd jump online by now and say, this is really fucked up that everyone's saying I'm pregnant and I'm not pregnant.
Yeah. Yeah. And she does just seem like she's living her best life. Joe just had the new DNCE is back. They had a new song with Kygo. Great song. Mm. Great song.
You love yourself some Kygo.
I do love myself some Kygo. Mm-hmm. I was very excited when I heard about this collaboration.
You were a Kygo head.
I've been to a ton of Kygo shows. Great. And he's got great... I went to one at the Barclays Center once, and he has great... What's the word? Pyrotechnics? Like lights and...
Oh, yeah. I went to one in Syracuse.
Fireworks. Cool.
My
and
favorite thing about
shit.
Fran was her being a big EDM rave girl, because people would never expect that. When you tell them, they're really thrown off.
Did you
That gets everyone
Sam?
In this office all the time. What?
Were you still like the same person?
Same person.
I've seen Fran... The thing is, I've now seen Fran in that environment, and something switches, but then she goes back to this person.
Yeah.
But when the EDM music's on and she's in that...
I feel like that's probably the way it is for a lot of people, though, who like EDM.
Yeah. Probably I could ask Natalie. I feel like Natalie is always going to festivals.
Yeah, you're not like raving at the office.
But,
you know?
No, that's what I'm saying.
Natalie is very like... She gives off the vibe that she would
that she goes to festivals.
Yeah. She does. She gives off the festival
vibe.
Yeah, that's
true. She does. She does. I like that music. And the song is great. Camille Kostick's in the music video. Yeah.
So is Wolfie Cindy.
Yeah. It's a great video.
Love bringing up Wolfie
Cindy. I like
Cindy.
Joe's hair right now. It's kind of long. Nick posted a
Daddy
funny...
Daddy Joe.
Yeah, Nick posted a funny TikTok. They're all of them. They're all dads.
Daddy Nick.
I wonder...
I can't believe Nick's a father.
It gets me every time. Gets me every time.
Holy shit.
I see pictures of...
Franny, like, soon a mother.
They were just... He and Priyanka were just out to dinner.
Rolls off the tongue.
Yeah. He and Priyanka were just out to dinner. And I saw paparazzi pictures of them. And I was like, they're going home to a baby. It's crazy.
That is nuts.
It's crazy.
Imagine going home to a baby.
Nope.
Yeah.
Not right now.
Not right now, certainly
not. You can't
not.
Even handle Norman.
Yeah.
That's why I'm saying. Imagine going home to a baby.
Yeah.
Couldn't be me right now.
So anyway, it's great news. If you know, I feel like it's true. We're going to go with it being true. And good for them.
Good for them. As a wise woman once said.
As a wise woman.
Good for them.
Once said. I feel like they're going to have siblings really close in age, too, which is fun. Because Willa was born like September 2020, I think.
I bet that is fun. Because I was really...
Morgan Stewart and Jordan McGraw.
Yeah.
They had kids late. She just gave birth. Again, she just gave birth to her second kid, like, almost exactly 1 year from...
Isn't that a strategic thing? Like, they grew up together, and then when you're, like, middle-aged...
I don't
think
they did it on purpose.
Is it called Irish twins?
Yeah. I don't think they did
No,
it on
not
purpose.
Even that, but then, like, once you're, like, in your 50s, they're already in college, and then you can just enjoy the rest of your life.
I don't know. Well, some people do that.
I'm sure, but I don't think they'd.
Some people plan it, some
people
don't.
Did that on purpose.
My
so
sister.
Your parents
wasn't this crazy.
You
so
kind of young, right?
They're.
What?
Your parents were young when they had you guys?
Yeah. Because yeah. my mom had my sister when she was 21. And my sister's 6 years older than me.
Yeah.
And that was always. Me and my sister didn't really become close until I was older.
Yeah.
It's not that
it's
big
the
of
same
a
difference. Me and my sister.
It's not that
five,
big of a difference.
Is,
but then when you're
13 and 18, it's a big
it's
difference.
Yeah. Like they want nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
My sister only wanted something to do with me when she got back from her. She went to college for away at Tampa for 1 year. Then she came back and then she started having an interest in me. But before that, she really wasn't interested.
So Morgan Stewart's second child was born exactly 1 year and a day after their first child.
That's insane. So their birthdays are 2 days apart?
So,
I mean, a day apart?
Yes. So their first child is February 17th, 2021. And their second child is February 18th, 2022.
That would have been so cool if they could have been on the same
easy
day.
Easy breezy for them with birthdays going forward. Combined birthday parties.
Yes.
Done.
Yep.
Dunzo, combined birthday parties.
Yeah, definitely. That is very true. But yeah, great baby news.
Good for them.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Okay, so hopefully by now everyone has had a chance to wrap up on Euphoria Season 2. If you have not, don't listen to this yet because we're going to talk about the whole season. But if you have watched all 8 episodes, then let's talk about it. Let's discuss because I think that there was some mixed reviews. I think some people loved it. I think some people hated it. I think there were a majority were probably somewhere in between, which I think is where I fall. The acting, tremendous. I think they are all such phenomenal actors. So it's like, it's hard to criticize because even though some of these episodes I felt like fell short, the acting was still so good.
Yeah.
But like the plot left a lot to be desired, I felt.
I agree wholeheartedly with that, with everything you said there. I think that the actors themselves, I don't know if I can name another show where every single actor is amazing. Like,
yeah.
Like this. Like,
yeah.
They are real. And
bless
you. Bless you. You
can, Succession?
Succession,
yeah,
yes.
Succession.
It's different, though. With Succession, they all have such a... It's also cold Succession, right? It's just like stone face. All of them are like
they're all similar.
They're all very similar. They all have their personalities. They're all amazing actors as well. But like in my opinion, Sydney Sweeney carried this entire season, and of course Zendaya. Everyone's amazing, but like Sydney Sweeney for me, even though Cassie, obviously you're not really rooting for her in some ways, but Sydney Sweeney's acting in this was incredible. Like to have to cry every single time you talk. I don't think she talked without crying this entire season. Like, that is really hard to do, to have to cry on command, and also to put yourself through that for the role, to always constantly be crying and being so dramatic at every... Like, it was incredible. Obviously, Zendaya goes without saying. I think Alexa Demi, her cadence, the way she just says things, cunt, fuck, everything, the way she says it is just like, you wish you could speak like her.
Yeah.
They're all incredible.
Mom. What? Maud Apatow.
This is a breakout season.
Yeah,
for her.
Really shined in the last two episodes. I was really glad that they gave her those moments that they did. I just think that the season as a whole, I didn't love it and I didn't hate it. I thought that some parts were really, really good. And then the finale, it's all been played out by now. I'm sure everyone has seen the same takes reiterated over and over and over again. But it was like the Rue's dad's funeral scene was played throughout the entire episode. Okay, we understand what happened there.
Yeah.
That is taking up precious time to figure out what else is happening actually in this show.
Yeah.
Then you have the play, which I really loved the way the play was shot. The second to last episode, I thought that was really awesome. But I didn't think that it had to carry into the last episode. I feel like it should have probably ended more at the beginning of the finale and then was actually what was happening like throughout the show. And then... Elliot, of course, the song, which
I didn't hate that. I was surprised.
I didn't either.
Like, they could have made it way shorter, which he probably should have, but like I didn't hate it.
The song was great. My only problem with that was that he sang 3 minutes and at the end said, it's not finished yet. It was like, are you kidding me? The song's not finished yet? It was 3 minutes long.
I probably would say the same thing.
Like, no, but it just was like, okay, couldn't that have been shorter to cut in some more of like...
It could have easily shortened.
There's so many unanswered questions. We don't even know if Ashtray really died. And we don't know...
He's got to be dead. Definitely
dead. No, I know that, but like we didn't see any, and I saw somebody comment this, and it was like, if they learned anything from a show, it's that if you don't see blood,
they're not dead. I know, but he was shot in the head.
But that was just their partner.
I really, if he's not dead, I'm actually gonna be upset because then we're living in like kind of a
Riverdale-esque,
like, yeah, exactly, show. And like Euphoria has never felt like that,
yeah,
where it's like
so.
Then
fake.
we are approaching CW territory then, yeah, because. And not knocking the CW shows because you know I love them, but this show has always had a different feel. Zendaya is so good, and of course, like it just felt like this season was written for her, and everybody else was kind of a side character. And I just sort of like it more of a full ensemble show, and everyone has their moments where it felt like the first season, each episode was kind of like dedicated to different people. So this just. And I know Rose the narrator and there's this whole story and maybe the next season she's sober and it's not as big of a storyline and the other characters have more. I don't know what, you never know. But it by the end, it was like so much I felt like should have happened with other characters that we just didn't get to see at all. And maybe it's just because every character is so good that you want to see more. Like, I felt like Jules was barely in this season at all, and the only time she was when she was, like, fighting with Zendaya. And then Cassie, like, her moments, Sydney Sweeney's moments were so great, and there could have been so many more.
I didn't think that they gave...
That drama, didn't get to play out as
Cassie
much as it
could
have.
Yeah, Cassie and Maddie, I thought that was so underplayed to what really would have happened. Like, it just seemed so underwhelming.
I wish the play was, like, episode 5.
Right, it just seems
some
like...
Some of those, like, 3, 4, 5 really felt like there was not a lot going on.
The whole Zendaya running one, like, yeah, it was cool, but it did not...
So unrealistic,
like, the plot
also,
didn't move
like,
along at all.
But, like, it was just an hour of, like...
Her running. And also,
like, what
just,
happened
like,
with Lori?
And who was locked in Lori's closet? And also, there's no way that Zendaya is on drugs or going withdrawal and jumping across cars. Like, she's not going to have that energy. She's going to get arrested. There's just so many... things that I felt like were lacking the season. They focus elsewhere, especially in the finale. By the end of it, I was silent after because I was like, I wanted to really be like, whoa, at the finale. And I just wasn't, like, there was just so many unanswered questions. And I know that they can't answer every question because then what's the point of having a season 3? Obviously, there's going to be a season 3. But you could tie up some loose ends while also, you know, leaving it, there's more to be answered in the third season.
Right? Like, it wasn't even addressed
at all. There's really no hints to anything. So, like, it's like, well, what are we even covering next
season?
Right,
and I get it. It's like, you could have this season end with, like, Zendaya looking at her phone and, like, Lori's calling her, you know? And then we at least know, like, oh, that's just not a forgotten part that she took, that she has all those drugs and, like, owes all this money. So it's like, where... It's just,
I feel like
just
they're trying to end it somewhat on a good note.
No, they totally did, and that's... I think that was supposed to be, like... trying to really focus on Rue's story, and that of course was very much the focus of this season. But I don't know, and it was interesting. I feel bad because we've all seen the rumors that, you know, Kat's storyline was not big at all because Barbie Ferreira and Sam Levinson were not getting along, and he like purposely cut her shit from like didn't put her in the show as much, which I don't know his deal, this Sam Levinson guy. I don't know enough about him. But just the fact that he, like, just the fact that you could be, like, arguing about a storyline with an actor on your show and so you cut her from the show more, like, feels very petty
to
me.
It does, but he's not, but then he is by some people. Like, Sydney Sweeney, when she's talked about it, because people like to speak for actors and actresses all the time and put words in their mouth, and that was happening kind of with Sydney Sweeney. People were like, she's naked all the time, her boobs are always out, like, fuck Sam Levinson. And then she went out and was like, he's never made me do that when I
didn't
want to.
Wasn't it like a story that she told where it was like he wanted her to to be nude, and she was like, no.
Yeah, and then he was like, okay, that's fine. Like, but that,
but then
that's...
there was also, what's her name?
Minka Kelly.
Minka Kelly. Minka Kelly said that Sam Levinson wanted her to be naked in the first scene,
like
with
her first scene.
And with Maddie, and she was like, I'm not, you know, comfortable doing that. And he was like, also another one where it's like, okay, fine. But it's just I think it's the continued ask.
Also, that's another
thing,
Minka Kelly.
It's like the continued ask of like, what's the
What was Minka Kelly's character?
Like, does it all have to start with nudity, and then if they don't want the nudity, then that's fine. But it's like I don't know.
I mean,
I see
both sides of it though. Like, it's like, in one aspect, you're like, that's kind of weird. He always wants them to be naked. The other aspect, you're like, well, if this was real life, would they be naked at this moment? You know, like if they're having sex. She's probably going
to
be naked.
Austin Abrams was another person that said something about this, just the season 2 script, the original script, with the amount of nudity that was written into it at the beginning. So, let me see what he
There were
said.
Also a lot of dicks at one point.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't discriminate.
Just nudity in general.
So... the making of the season was a hot topic of conversation before the first episode ever hit our screens, while production dramatically halted amid COVID. During the long wait to begin filming, Euphoria's creator Sam Levinson completely rewrote the script, with Zendaya confirming that's what we've seen unfold on TV over the past 8 weeks is totally different from what was originally going to happen. The actor, Zendaya, said that the majority of the originally planned season was scrapped. There are very few things that remain in the version that you are now seeing. Fans of the show have been able to work out dribs and drabs of what the original script consisted of through various cast interviews, and while some changes appear to be rather straightforward, others have come under scrutiny. In fact, many of Euphoria's women stars have said that they were uncomfortable with their characters' nude scenes, admitted to speaking to Sam directly in a bid to get them changed. Sydney Sweeney was one of them and said that Sam was incredibly receptive to her feedback. And then she said, there are moments where Cassie was supposed to be shirtless, and I would tell Sam, I don't really think that's necessary here. And he'd be like, okay, we don't need it. I've never felt like Sam has pushed it on me or was trying to get a nude scene into an HBO show. She added, when I didn't want to do it, he didn't make me. This season of Euphoria also saw the introduction of many new actors. That's Minka Kelly, when she had said that too. She was uncomfortable with the sexual tones. And Minka recently revealed that the scene was originally much more sexual and involved her being completely naked on set. Sam thought it would be more interesting if my dress fell to the ground. That was my first day as a guest on this new show, and I just didn't feel comfortable staying there naked. I said, I'd love to do the scene, but I think we can keep my dress on. And he was like, okay. He didn't even hesitate, and he shot a beautiful scene and got exactly what he wanted. Chloe Cherry said, is another season 2 newcomer whose first day on set initially involved being naked, but her co-star Tyler Chase, who plays Custer, advocated for that to be changed. Chloe stars as Faye. We know that. She admitted that she was already uncomfortable on set because the very first scene that she shot was the one where Custer shoves her into a vent. Sam wanted to do the scene with me completely naked, and Tyler was like, that's a lot. So they decided not to. Meanwhile, Martha Kelly revealed that the already disturbing fifth episode, Martha Kelly is who plays Lori, that the already disturbing fifth episode of season 2 initially had a, quote, gross pedophilia vibe that she felt incredibly uncomfortable shooting. In the show, Martha plays Lori, who hinted that she would traffic rude, quote, sick people if she couldn't repay her debts after being given a suitcase full of drugs to sell. After Rue showed up at Lori's house in the depths of withdrawal, Lori was seen giving her a bath and injecting her with morphine. Discussing the moment, she said, there is that scene where Rue is getting into the tub and Lori injects her with morphine, and in the script, it's even creepier because Lori's helping her undress and getting the tub, and it's approaching this gross pedophilia vibe. Despite not being happy with filming the scene as it was written, she confessed that she didn't want to ask Sam to make any changes because she just felt, quote, lucky to have been cast. She said she would never tell a writer director what to change. But Sam ended up changing that as well. Alexa Demi has claimed that she's had some issues as well. Austin Abrams revealed that he was nervous about his character's original season 2 script. In arguably one of the most show-stopping scenes of the season, the dance routine, he said, in the heavily homoerotic performance, Ethan and a group of male backup dancers are shirtless. We all watched it. Austin admitted that he was dreading the shoot for this scene because it was unlike anything he'd ever done before, and the original script made him even more uncomfortable. said that Sam had initially planned for Ethan and the rest of the dancers to be wearing just a pair of tight underpants while they got lathered down in oil and doing all of these things. He said it was a relief when they didn't have to dance in tighty whities in front of all their co-stars.
Okay, so it's a lot.
It's a lot. It feels like a lot of people have some concerns.
Yeah, it feels like there's a lot of concerns about the original script. I'll be honest, I didn't know it was that deep.
When I started to read this article, I did not think I was going to be talking for that long.
No, I didn't think I really either. I was like, how long is this going for?
I couldn't believe how many more people are there.
It's gotten more and more concerning as the article went on.
Right, and then it ends, obviously it ends with the most with Kat, with Barbie Ferreira, like, not getting her scenes cut.
Seems like there's some suspicions about this guy.
Yeah, so according
to... But if they're all still working for him, it's like, you never know, right? It's like, well, maybe they disagree with him, but they also respect him. It's a weird area to lie in.
And I understand Barbie Ferreira, and I don't know, like, this is not confirmed. We don't know. This is totally rumor-based, is that she walked off set because Sam wanted Kat to have an eating disorder this season. Yeah. And Barbie, like, the person, she's a body positive activist. Like, she's very, she talks about that a lot. And so I think rumor has it that she was very uncomfortable with that storyline, didn't want that for Kat. Like, she wanted Kat to be this body positive character. Sam retaliated by cutting her scenes.
And you could tell he cut her scenes because
big time. She's barely in the show.
She would just chuckle.
Yeah.
She got to the point where she didn't have any lines at one point. Yeah. It would be like Alexa Demi said anything and Kat would go, ha. It was obvious.
Her and Ethan's relationship, it was like, they're just going to be over.
Right.
We're going to break them up and then make sure that there's nothing more for them.
It was so obvious she was cut out. And then I felt like Jacob Elordi didn't have enough screen time in the finale.
Yeah.
It was like Cal got arrested. He confronted his dad. But what about Cassie and Maddie and everything that's going on there? Like, he just wasn't in the finale enough, I thought.
I totally agree. There wasn't even... like, whatever's going on with Nate, like, it was just really... The first episode, I felt like it started off so great. And then, I don't know, it just... from all the changes they made or what was going on. But we obviously know there's going to be a season 3. Ashtray, if he's alive, that's... There's also... The actor also said that... That was like a very last minute change, that it was supposed to be Fez.
And then they're like, oh, wait, everyone loves Fez, don't kill him.
Yeah. Well, thank God.
Yeah.
I think everyone would have...
He could be dead, but like, he's not dead.
Everyone would have lost their fucking minds.
No, everyone actually. And because now it does feel like Angus Cloud is such a
character.
Fan favorite.
Oh, yeah.
As just a person in real life.
Fexy.
That people would freak out.
We ship Fexy.
What's going to happen now? When he was all dressed up with the flowers.
She's going to be visiting him in jail.
Yeah, but he's going to be in jail and it's going to be
he's going to find... Like, no, there's going to be a way. There's no way he's in jail.
They're going to have that phone conversation where he's telling Ashtray that he's going to take the blame, but it turns out it's Ashtray, but Ashtray's dead. So they're like, all right, well, we'll let him free.
Yeah. Like, but there's going to be some way that he's not.
Yeah.
Or maybe season starts, he's already out or something.
He's got to be out. Like, we cannot have Fez in jail the whole season.
No, we definitely can't.
Hopefully this comes out by 2023 and not 2024, because I'm not really sure I could wait 2 years.
Yeah, I would. There's a couple things I would like a better season 3.
I would season 3 will be better.
Yeah, and I would like maybe Sam Levinson to... take it down a notch here, because it seems like maybe not the greatest working environment. And I don't like reading about that, because what's crazy is, right, this is, it just, everyone, it was announced that Euphoria is now the second most watched show on HBO after Game of Thrones. So it's so incredibly popular. And you know these actors, like, this is a huge fucking show for them. And to hear that, like, maybe it's not the best working environment, that fucking sucks.
I saw a TikTok where it was Leonardo DiCaprio, who's like, I just started watching Euphoria. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's like, imagine if you were saw that and you were on the show.
Those actors, that's probably why they still put up with the bad working environment, because they're like, well, it's paying off. We're getting all this notoriety, and it's one of the biggest shows ever. But also at the same time, you got to clean that
up.
But
Sam,
I think maybe
Levinson
they will with all the
like...
with all the rumors and everything that's going on now. Maybe season 3 will change.
Yeah, I hope so. I totally hope so. Justice for Barbie. She does not deserve this at all. I thought, like, I really liked Kat in the first season, and I thought, like, I noticeably felt that she was not part of this.
Oh, yeah. She, like I said, she would just go, yeah, Like, there was nothing. And I hope that in the third season, they just show them all as a whole in general.
Yeah, definitely. I think it has to be, give it more of that ensemble feel than just, like, one character focus.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
All right, everyone, we are here with a very special guest. We are joined by The Bachelor himself, Clayton Eckerd. Welcome to the show in person. You've been on the show before. I introduced you as The Bachelorette. That was very wrong. You are now here. You are The Bachelor, and we're happy to have you in studio.
Are you?
We absolutely are. We're so excited.
We really are. Why are you looking at us like that?
I wanted to just give you a little trouble. I see as the seasons went on a little bit. I've seen a few tweets about not being too excited with my decisions and the way I do things. And listen, I want to just lay it out here. I hope by the end of this, we're all best buds.
Yeah, let's talk about
Let's talk about it. Let's talk about the idiotic things I've done.
Let's do it. There's been some moments where we have been like, what is this guy doing? That doesn't mean we don't like you.
Yeah, we think you're a nice guy. We think you're a stand-up gentleman. Yeah. But these decisions.
There is never a season of The Bachelor where The Bachelor has not made questionable decisions. Nobody bats, like, you know.
Nobody bats 1,000.
1,000. That's what I was looking for.
Did you?
Nobody bats 1,000 as The Bachelor.
I came in swinging. Yeah. I was going for the home.
So we've actually talked about that on the show many times during other seasons, during your season. Did you consider that at all when you agreed to do it? Were you like, people like me now on Michelle's season, but as I expose myself more and they see me more on camera, are they going to find things that they don't like about me? And is that a reason why I might not want to do it?
I think I just walked into it thinking, you're a good dude, so you'll get portrayed that way. That was kind of what I was told, and good people get portrayed in a good light. So I thought, all right, you trust yourself. You think highly of yourself. People that know you think highly of you. So you're going to walk in here, and you face a little blowback just based off of being originally chosen, but ultimately people will fall in love for who I am. And I don't know if that's happened.
I think I talked about this a couple of episodes ago, the Bachelor recaps, that you really can't win as The Bachelor. Every single time somebody's The Bachelor, they get a lot of blowback. No matter what the decisions are, we see it every single time. I think it's less with The Bachelorette, but I think that you watch a guy with 30 women and all of a sudden it's like you're just painted as the bad guy immediately, which sometimes the decisions that you're making are wrong and people need to point it out. And then other times it's just people want to get mad just to get mad.
Yeah, so. And I do. I liked the way you handled a lot of this stuff through the season, where you're you haven't watched the show. You're watching the show as it's on now, so you don't see what these girls are saying. And so I felt like, and we talked about it during recaps a bunch of times, where like with the Shanae and Elizabeth stuff and everything, there were times when watching the show, we were all like, "Oh boy, this is going poorly." But you were fairly vocal on Twitter throughout the season, being like, I made some mistakes. I'm seeing it all happen, and that hasn't happened all the time when people are The Bachelor.
Yeah, I want everyone to know first and foremost that it all falls back on my shoulders at the end of the day. So I just like to talk and explain. If people want to hear why I did what I did, then I'm willing to like go through all of that and discuss it openly. And even when I made mistakes, because I clearly did, I'm fully accountable for all of it. And I don't want anyone to think that I'm trying to push something off onto somebody else and try to make myself look better. Because at the end of the day, whether I was directly or indirectly involved, it was still me as the lead that had to navigate all of that. And yeah, I certainly at points was manipulated by certain individuals. But again, that's my fault, I guess, for falling victim to it. I don't want to say falling victim, because I don't want to make it seem like I'm trying to be the victim here. I'm not. It's like, I'm a grown man. I can take criticism. I'm self-deprecating. I really like, I'm on Twitter and all that, having fun with it where I can. Because for the most part, a lot of the drama was, well, and I didn't know it was as intense as what it was early on. I thought it was, I even said petty drama at one point, because that's what I thought it was. Yeah. And it was more than that. And so as I watch it back now, I'm like, oh, damn, I really, actually just didn't give this enough weight. Like, I kind of just glossed over it when I was there.
But you definitely were manipulated. Like, I understand you wanting to take it all back on yourself and being like, I screwed this up. But there's only so much you can do. You're the Bachelor. You're dating 30 women. There's a lot going on. You know, who are you supposed to believe? Who are you not supposed to believe? So I understand wanting to take that all on yourself. But when you watch it back, you clearly were manipulated. And that's not, certainly not entirely your fault at all.
How did you feel watching those moments specifically with Shanae, where they would... You would see you guys talking and having a great conversation and would cut to her interviews where she's like, I can't believe he bought that. I'm fake crying. He's, you know, he's eating out of the palm of my hand.
She's like, I'm Meryl Streep. I deserve an Oscar.
No, I'm watching this alongside, everybody else, and I'm throwing popcorn at the TV like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah. But you're also like, props to her?
Yeah. Well, again, I kind of looked at it. I was like, okay, you go. I mean, you did your thing. You finessed all of us. And it was... Yeah, it was a shock, and I watched this back, and I'm like, holy hell! Like, you faked emotions. I honestly, again, call it me being naive. I didn't know people could just straight pull out tears on command, and I saw that more than a few times when I was there. And I'm kind of a sucker. I'm a giant teddy bear. When I see tears, I just want to go. I go into protective mode. I'm like, you're crying, so you obviously feel really like this hurts you a lot. I want to be here and just make you feel better. And I don't know if the women's noticed that. And they're like, all right, just cry and you'll get out of whatever you need to get out of.
Nice guy, Clayton.
they'll just give you a big hug and then send you on your happy way. So I call it. I think a few women did that. And now as I watch it back and I did call out one of them for trying to fake the tears. And I just was, at that point, I was tired of it because I was too far in and I realized, like, this is for real for me. I'm not here to play this game, but some of you are.
Yeah. Now, when it came down to Genevieve and Shanae's one-on-one date and two-on-one date, and you turned to Genevieve and you were like, are you an actress? Like, are you manipulating me? Where did you get that information from? And then how was that cleared up for you that it was Shanae? Because I feel like a lot of that was cut and we didn't really see how you jumped from one to the other.
Yeah. That information was given me from Shanae. And as far as they can only show so much in an episode, so how as far as it was edited and all that, I can't speak so much on it. I will just say that I heard that from her, and so then I addressed it, and people said, I was a little blunt, and I'm like, looking back at it, I just don't like to spend time on drama. I don't want to sit here and beat around the bush, and it's like, did this happen? If it did, who's at fault here? How can we get past it? And I just wanted to move on from it. I was like, I'm not here to be a part of drama. I'm here to try to find a solid connection.
What was the beef early on in the season where there were two women going at it and you basically just walked away and you were like, the shrimp. Oh, was it the shrimp? Sorry to bring up the
it's
shrimp.
I know shrimp. That's always the shrimp.
I know that's like become the theme.
Is shrimp cocktail ruined for you? Or
I just found myself getting pulled back into it. As everyone saw in like the recent episode with shrimping when I went to Susie's hometown. And I just, and again, that was totally, he made a comment, and I'm like, was it someone in your ear? Is that an actual move? Can I get Google real quick? Yeah. I know you're not just messing with me, but it's everywhere I turned. It's just shrimp was right behind my back. And, I did have shrimp last night, but it was.
Yeah.
Jesse and I had some shrimp. And it was
We all ordered shrimp for the next episode.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because when we all watched in the office together, and it's just... When they start to talk about it so much,
now I want
made
shrimp
us
right
all
now.
Want shrimp.
Shrimp is delicious. And
it
it's
is.
Hard to
and
deny.
Just because they were fighting about it doesn't mean we can't have it anymore.
Yeah.
You are,
I just
you
wouldn't
are
put
right.
it past you guys if somebody decided to walk in here in a shrimp costume.
I'll be honest.
Holy moly.
Yeah, now I wish we
Boy,
had done
we
that.
Boy, screw that one. No,
it would be great if we came with a platter of shrimp right now. And it seems like we're queuing somebody to do that, and we're just not.
We're just not.
Missed opportunity.
That is.
We're really great at coming up with good ideas when it's
after
too late.
It happened.
It's shower thoughts. That's what it is. Yeah. You're in the shower and you're like, I should have said that. I'll be doing that later today.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, that would have been a great zinger or whatever.
Yeah, it happens. It happens all the time. Yeah. But in those moments when you now watch back with Shanae and Elizabeth, did you learn a lot more of what was actually going on? Because it felt like watching, it was like, how is he keeping Shanae around when this is all going on? But... maybe like that information just never got to you.
Yeah, I made a public apology on my Twitter.
Yeah.
Again, I have to, there's only so much I can say privately because, again, it's just the way things work. But I said that, listen, I was unaware that Elizabeth was being mocked for her ADHD, and that is 1,000% true. I do not recall that whatever being brought up. Some of the women said that I came to you and told her about her attacking her mental health. I won't say that that might, maybe that was said, but again, I think that if that was said to me, I kind of brushed it off. Well, as Shanae said the same thing, everyone's affecting my mental health.
Right.
And so it was a blanket statement that I thought, okay, there's not something specific as far as her coming after, you know, ADHD or something more particular. It was just, hey, our mental health's being affected. And I'm like, well, yeah, everyone's mental health is being affected in some regard here. So I think that's where I look back and like, and I think I could ask more questions. I could have dug a little deeper. But I was not told about the whole, you know, mocking of ADHD. And once I watched that back, I was disgusted. Yeah. I'm like, this is not, you shouldn't be going down that path. I mean, and you went after her and after and after her.
Yeah.
And then when I had the two of them sit down, again, not knowing what all was going on behind the scenes, I made my judgment based off of that moment. And for what it was, Shanae played it really well. Mm-hmm. She was quiet. She listened to everything Elizabeth had to say. She sat there. She maintained her cool for the most part. And then I think, as I now see why, Elizabeth got really animated in that moment, and she kind of came across a little condescending, was like, does that sound like bullying to you?
Yeah.
But she got a little animated, and I think it's because she was so frustrated concerning what all had happened prior. Right. But I had no context to that. So I was going off of that exact conversation between those two, and in that decision making I made, Shanae played it a little bit better. Yeah, she was a little bit more calm.
Yeah. And I mean, time and time again, we see this. You're not the first person to keep somebody around that everyone's like, they should go home. We saw it on Hannah Brown season with Luke.
Every single
he made
season.
It all the way to the end, and we were like, how did this guy make it so far?
Yeah.
Because you guys are not seeing what everyone else is seeing. So I feel like, you have to take some responsibility. You know, you said you're a grown man, whatever, but also like you are not seeing everything and you are being manipulated in certain situations. And unfortunately, some women are really good at it.
Yeah. Right, and when it comes down to it, you're making a decision. It's one decision or the other. If you send Shanae home there, everybody's like, oh, this is great. Or if you pick Shanae, then people are like, why is he not sending her home? It's a black and white decision at that moment. And you're just like, all right, I'm going to pick the decision that I think is best. And if it works out, it does. If it doesn't, I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, and you want to believe that people aren't going to lie to you. But right. Again, I mean, I think it's something that it's talked about a little bit, but it is what the whole everyone talks about here for the wrong reasons, and it's so overplayed. But the fact of the matter is that yes, people come on this show looking to forward their career. They're not there for me. I mean, a lot of them probably didn't know it was me to begin with.
Yeah.
So I look at it like I have to be aware of that, and everything that's said to me, I already am on guard where I go, well, are you saying this because you mean this, or are you saying this because you have an ulterior motive?
How much of that contributed to sending Sarah home? Because that it did seem like there was it did seem like a pretty quick turnaround where you guys were doing really well, and then all of a sudden it was like, I do not believe anything you're saying to me right now.
Yeah, I think there's talks of, well, did he overcorrect? And it was, yeah, I was definitely more receptive at that point, right? So after, as more women came to me about Shanae, that's when I started to go, okay, all right, we're not talking one or two people now, it's five or six. And so I gave her like that one more chance, and then she threw the trophy, and then I said, I basically said, told her like, hey, you know, are you apologetic? If so, go apologize. And if she said no, then I was going to send her home in my head. That's the way I looked at it.
Right.
But she apologized and came back and told me it was great. Everything went well, and some of the women believed it as well. And so I thought that was it. So, but then obviously the next week the women continued, and I'm like, all right, I just got to. Yeah, there's clearly a reason why they're still sticking on this. So once the women came forward about Sarah it was strong connections and with women that I trusted as well. Mm-hmm. And that's no fault to the women that originally came to me about Shanae, but at that point we're a weekend.
Yeah, it was really early.
And I had no trust with any of them, and vice versa. So I had to make decisions based off of what I would say was, factual evidence. I needed, did this happen or did this not happen, right? Were you in the hot tub or were you not in the hot tub? Like, did you throw the trophy or did you not throw the trophy? And when it came to Sarah, it was, did you tell the women that I cried with you or did you not? And again, I'm like, I don't care. Like, I cried plenty. Everyone, it's all, every single promo.
Yeah.
I'm so broken.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you heard that?
Can you do the line?
Yeah. Let me do it for you guys.
We've done it a couple times ourselves.
Seen it, yes. Yeah. And I'm like, all right, here we go. Another promo, another broken.
Yeah.
broken moment. So.
That's good. You're very self-aware. That's a good thing to have, honestly.
Yeah. Well,
I'm so in love.
Yeah.
I'm so broken. Sorry.
It's a fast cut. Yeah.
I can animate. When I'm pumped up and like when I'm happy, then then I'm the one who's going to be, you know, screaming at the mountaintop. So you have those moments. I had a wide array of emotions all throughout the show. But when I heard that about Sarah, it was just, okay, people, women coming to me that I have strong connections with, telling me this, saying that they almost left because of what she's saying. And here's the thing. She's telling these women that I cried with her. She's telling these women that after week two, she was going to hometowns. I had my mind made up. And I'm like, now you're talking about me, and I know what I said. So it was as simple as I went to her, why are you saying this?
Right.
And she didn't have an answer for it. So I was like, okay, so you're lying. I don't know why you're lying. I'm not saying we don't have a connection, but the fact that you almost jeopardized these other relationships and they almost all left, to me, it's like, I'm here to find, you know, for my love story, like for me to be able to find my person, and you almost had them all pack their bags. Mm-hmm. And that was where it was like, that's a slap in the face to me. And I just, I wasn't having it at that point.
Well, it seems like you throughout the season were, we talked about the Shanae stuff, good at calling stuff out and sending people home as you thought fit. And you are now down to the people that you have
the final three,
the people you have the most connection with. You're so in love with everyone. Jesse Palmer is shocked and appalled, and he can't believe it. Whoa. He can't believe what's happening. And you did hometowns, which I thought went well for you overall.
Did you enjoy the hometowns? Because they were great.
To the promos, everyone's like, he's about to get wrecked.
Yeah, and they do that every season.
They always and then you get the pat.
You got the pat.
You got the pat.
Everybody, I feel like everybody's family really liked you.
Yeah.
What was it like meeting Tony? What was that whole experience like?
Again, I respect a protective dad.
Yeah.
Because if I had a daughter, I would be the same way. You know, I'd pull like the whole bad boys stunt. You know, you take him into the garage and you show the boys, like, hey, listen, like, just so you know, you get her back by 9 on the dot tonight.
Yeah.
And that to me is what I felt with him. Is he's like, hey, listen, this is my daughter. This is like my world. I love her. So don't hurt her. Like, she's been through enough hurt. She's had bad boyfriends in the past. Do not play with her emotions. And when I left hometowns, it hit me that I just realized, I was like, man, I have these really strong connections, and I'm going to hurt these women. I'm going to hurt some of them. It's inevitable.
You're like, well, sir, I am maybe going to hurt your daughter.
Yeah. And I said that to him. I said, listen, like, there's a chance I could hurt her.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry in advance if I do. It's going to happen inevitably. I cannot walk out of here and everyone be happy.
No, we had said that during, you know, last week during Cutting Stems, that it was the way you handled all those hometowns was the right way to do it. Where when they ask you, are you in love with my daughter? You say, you know, I've got all these relationships going on. I feel strongly towards your daughter, but you never said I'm in love with your daughter. And that's the right way to do it because you're managing expectations because of what you just said, where you are going to end up hurting three out of the four of these women. So it's like, I don't want to then also take it a step further and hurt the families as well. He came in here, he said he was in love with you, and now he's gone somewhere else. So I think that was the right way to do it. In past seasons, people have not done that, and it's a disaster.
Yeah, and so I went from Michelle's season right into my own, so I didn't get to watch other seasons. And that's, again, something that people say, well, should he have watched some episodes going in to have an idea of what he was getting into? I felt, well, I didn't really have the time for one, but even if I could, my thought was, I don't want to be influenced by what I see from somebody else. Like, I want this to be authentic on my own end. Yes, and then that caused me to walk into certain situations where I'm like looking around. And I'm like, Jesse, can we do this? Is this feasibly possible?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where are the boundaries here? And then, you know, Jesse's like, I don't know, man, it's my first season too.
Yeah, yeah. I think that is also good because we did kind of get into a pattern of Bachelors always asking every father for their blessing. Like, that sort of became a theme at hometowns for the Bachelor to be like, if it is your daughter at the end, like, do I have your blessing? And it's always a moment where the dad's like, well, either yes or like, hey, I can't do that right now because there's other people around. So that just didn't happen at all, which was kind of refreshing. So it's interesting. Like, did you even know that past Bachelors do that a lot?
I had heard, and they did show with Rachel's dad. I did ask, and he was like, well, to be honest with you, I haven't spoken to her yet, so I can't give you that. I was like, yeah, it's pretty reasonable.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I just wanted to ask now. Because, again, I'm like, maybe the next time I see you, we're together. And
right.
I said, that's just the way this works. I get where you feel you should ask. Because if not, it's just like, oh, hey, we're engaged.
Yeah.
Didn't really ask for your opinion on this or for your blessing. So, so we had the conversation. But yeah, you going back to your point that you were talking about, I had thought so much about walking into hometowns, and I was fighting the feeling of falling for multiple women. I walked in, I was using absolutes day one. I was talking to all, you know, the producers and such. I said, I am not falling in love with multiple women. Not going to happen.
Yeah.
That's going to be a train wreck. There's no way that my brain can wrap that around, like wrap my mind around it. And then I fought it and fought it and fought it. And then I started to kind of feel it leading into hometowns. But my thought was, okay, you're starting to feel it, but do you feel it for all of four of the women? And I was like, maybe, but I'm not entirely sure. So I was like, the last thing I want to do is tell one woman, yeah, hey, I'm falling in love with you. Then I go into hometowns and their first family says, well, have you told anybody you're falling in love with them? Well, yeah, not your daughter, though.
Right.
So then
they go right
back to the daughter and say, well, hey, you know, it's instant major red flag.
Yep.
And my thought was, like, just wait until after the families and then you can open up. And at that point, after the hometowns, I'm like, no, actually, I'm falling in love with all of them, so I can just tell them all now.
Yeah.
And it's not I told two of you but not the third.
Did Serene being the first one to say, like, I'm in love with you, make you realize it wasn't Serene?
They showed it. I talked to Jesse about it. I was falling for her as well.
Yeah.
But when I never got to say it back to her, and honestly, it's one of those things now where it's like, I don't know if she sees it, what her thoughts are. Obviously, it doesn't matter because we're no, I mean, mm-hmm. that ship has sailed. But, you know, when she asked me that question as she left, she had one question. Is it because of what I said, the feelings that I expressed? And that is when it made, like, I got so sick to my stomach in that moment because the way I perceived that was, you feel invalidated because I never told you how I felt. And at that point, I'm like, stop holding back with these women because I'm sure these other women are also wondering, like, well, I might start putting my walls back up because I have no idea where he stands.
Right. And now we've seen this clip on social today that you are telling Susie that you are in love with her and she's kind of hesitant. She says
she... seems like there's some hesitation.
She adores you. How did that make you feel in that moment?
Yeah, well, again, I look at it from playing both sides. So when the women told me, obviously, I just was like, ah, I'm so excited. And I was happy. I really was. But I was withholding saying anything back, right? And everybody, you want someone to say, oh, I love you too, right? But in this environment, for what it is, it's like, okay, there's other women here. And I had to be careful with that and work my way through it. But as she had already expressed that she was falling in love with me back in Croatia, so when it came time for me to express that, I kind of felt like my thought was she's going to say, oh my gosh, like I'm so happy, like I finally know where you stand. And then, yeah, you saw the hesitation. And the hesitation was like, okay, why? And then people will figure out why.
Do you find those situations hard to field? Like when a woman expresses something to you or, you know, tells you an emotional story. And we've talked on this podcast, me specifically being like, if I was in that situation, I certainly would not know how to handle that. Because first of all, that's just what a situation you're in. There's cameras everywhere. It's an emotional situation. Do you find it hard to field those moments? Because for whatever reason, because of the cameras, because it's so emotional, like how do you feel in those moments?
Yeah, I don't like the term trauma dumping per se, but like when somebody drops something on you, again, you have to factor in, when are they telling me this? And in this environment, sometimes people are coming out with these really intimate stories and about their past a week in.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my, I don't even know you, but I'm happy that you're opening up. I really, really appreciate that. You're fully diving in. But I am afraid that everything that I say, depending on how I respond, I'm still trying to read you. I'm still trying to figure out what you respond best to. So what do I say in this moment? And it is tough. And then as you get to know the woman, then yes, and you can respond accordingly. But I did see, again, I read everything online because I just...
You got to stop.
And I know.
We told you at the beginning.
Oh, my God.
We told you at the beginning. You haven't taken any advice.
Everybody told me. And here's the thing.
Don't read our tweets either.
Yeah.
Really
especially ours. Ours might be the meanest.
I just came in here to give you guys trouble. I was like, you know what?
You haven't given us any trouble. Well, we're still waiting for it.
I said at the beginning, I said I saw read some of your tweets. Yours especially. I said, I don't think Rhea's a fan.
No, I am a fan.
Okay, well.
Haven't I been? Yes. I have never once said I didn't like you. I just was wondering if you banged Shanae the entire season.
That was funny. That was funny. I back and forth there. Yeah.
Fair question.
Fair question.
By the trailers, they had us convinced.
They had us. The trailers get us every time where they're so well done where you are guessing the entire season, like when is this moment happening? And now we finally realize it's end of the season. But at the beginning, we were like, is this happening 3 weeks in, 4 weeks in?
Yeah. And we don't know. You're intimate with both people. Then we see you at church. And it was like, did this happen in the middle of the season?
Yeah.
He goes to church right away.
He's like, oh, my God, I slept now. I got to pray.
Yeah, Lord, I don't think you can save me on this one. Yeah. Please.
But, I mean, now it just seems like it comes down to fantasy suites, which we were all fooled.
Well, that's where the editors do their dark magic. They do a great job of capturing people's attention. And I thought, for what it was, when you made those comments originally and tweeting about it, I was like, she's clearly joking, right? Because I'm over here with the full story. And I was like, that's asinine. But
half and half. But, half jokes.
Yeah, but then again, I started seeing people online say, oh, like, he's thinking with, the little head. And he's just wanting to, he's basing his decisions off of just wanting to sleep with Shanae. And it's like, okay, but she's gone now, and she didn't go to Fancy Suites. So what does that say? I never was thinking of that. Never was, okay? Yeah. I'm not.
You guys did make out a lot, though.
We did, but like.
Just like, be honest with me, man.
I don't want to downplay kissing, but it's kissing, all right? It's not like you're going to, it's your first, what is that, first base?
That's what makes you wanna, you know?
Right.
I will say that, yeah.
So rounding those bases.
As I watched the episode back, and then like they show her throw the trophy, and then all of a sudden I'm thrown up on a bar table. I'm like, no, don't. I was like, no.
When
don't
you're
throw
running
this,
at first and you see that ball keep going, you're like, should I round the bases now?
Yeah. First base coach is
telling
you to go.
Go.
Very interesting.
First base coach, as in, you know?
A few moments where I think, some of the women in the moment, I'm like, I was like, oh wait, there's cameras here.
Yeah.
Bee's a big dog.
So Monday night we're gonna be watching Women Tell All. Tuesday we're watching Fantasy Suites. It's a lot coming up. You guys have done the Women Tell All is filmed. How did that go for you? Because we always hear it's a lot of drama.
A firing squad. Yeah, that's the best way to put it. I walked out there and I waved, and I don't think I saw it. My brain doesn't remember any waves. It was more like stern looks, like, oh, you're happy?
That is terrifying. Gonna,
let's set the record straight, man.
Yeah. What I don't get is, and people may be mad at me for this, but I think we've said it multiple times on this show, it's like, they all know what they're signing up for, and they all know that not everyone can be picked. Yeah. It's only one. So, obviously, they're going to be mad at you at some point. Like, what do they expect? That's what my whole thing is every time, is just like, did they all expect to win?
Listen, I don't want to.
No,
make...
I'm not asking you. I'm just saying in general.
That's
more of a hypothetical.
I think egos get into it, and I understand, right? I mean, to get sent home night one. I mean, that was my big thing when I went on Michelle's season. I said, just if I don't get sent home night one, then because it can be embarrassing, right?
Yeah.
You're like, because your instant thought is, man, am I that bad?
Right.
And the reality is no, you're not. You just didn't have that connection. But there's incredible people here, so don't hold that against yourself. But that can be an ego check for people, and I get it, and I can understand the frustration. I can understand how some of these women go, you didn't give me a chance. And it's like, listen, for what it was, we just didn't have that spark, okay? That doesn't mean that you're like, again, if we flip the script here, you might have sent me home night one.
Right.
Because it's just, that is what it is, right? Like, I had two or three women go home night one that are just like, not my cup of tea.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's fine. That's fair. Same way with some of these women, that they're incredibly beautiful, but they're not my type. And it's like, I get it, though. That's where the ego gets involved. And you're like, it sucks. When on national television, you're getting sent home night one or after two or three dates. And you're like, well, I didn't even get to tell you who I am. And it's like, just for what it was, though, I mean, I just didn't feel that spark where I did with other women.
And it is their last chance to try and make an impact before paradise and whatnot. So that's always a factor. We've got to wrap up, but there's been some talk, and there's, a big tweet from Mike Fleece, and he said, this season, unspoilable. No one knows what happens because no one knows what's going on right now. Any thoughts on that?
I don't think there's any way to spoil it.
Yeah.
That's all I can say.
I love that.
I want to say one thing before you leave. Now that you're here in person.
Oh yeah, we got a comment.
You're a large human being. You're a big guy.
Does Clayton live up to the hand?
Or do you want to?
Hold him up.
Compare hand size.
Oh my god! And Trent has big hands.
I told you.
Trent's got meaty hands.
I'm a big boy.
I saw the clip that you popped up in. Was it Vienna?
I was in Vienna.
Oh, you had to bring it up.
But actually, it's funny.
I want to talk about it. I was like, you were there, and you were in the back. I'm like, did the women turn around and at least give you a little nod? Like,
hey, no, hey, I was back there.
The only
one
who could really talk about is Genevieve. We'll have to have I think we got to try and get Genevieve on. That's the only moment.
I was having dinner at the bar one night at the hotel, and I saw you walk through the lobby. Obviously, we don't know each other, so I wasn't going to be like, oh my gosh, that's Clayton. But I saw you there.
You could have said, hey, listen, man, I'm with Barstool.
I don't know what I can do and what I can't do when I'm at those things. I just kind of.
You don't want to come across as like a fangirl moment. Like,
no,
right.
And he's told, and then, here to pull some luggage, and then
are you even there to pull luggage?
Right. Yeah. You never know. You go up to The Bachelor, and then they cut your scene. Who knows what can happen when you do those things.
For what it is, I didn't know until after after we wrapped filming that you had pulled luggage in the past. So if you would have came out to be like, I'm the guy that pulls luggage, I'd have been like,
Like, security, get this guy out of here.
Fist pounded, I would have been like, all right, man, we'll have a good day. You know, like, I wish the best for you.
That, like, yeah, nothing would have clicked there.
Yeah, it wouldn't, unfortunately. But now, hey.
I was there. I was in Vienna.
Hey, I saw you got love online for it, so that's great. People.
That's
people
what I do it for.
They love it. They want more of it.
That is literally why he does
love
it.
Talking about online.
You're online a lot.
You're online a lot.
Everything's digital these days. Everything's online. I had to step away from my job. In medical sales because of the obligation of going back and forth in LA and all that. So now I'm on my computer. I work on a creative fitness website. I'm working towards my physical training, personal training degree, certificate. Like, I'm doing stuff to stay active, but I'm on the computer.
Yeah.
Do you think you're going to take a break after this of reading everything?
No, because honestly what happened is...
It's like, I'm addicted.
I read it all, and what happened is it's like you become numb to it.
You're desensitized.
And then you just realize, you're like, you know what? You can't please everybody at the end of the day, so stop letting these people that don't know you like affect you. Yeah. And that's where I'm at now. Is a few weeks ago, I was in the dumps for sure. But now I'm like, I'm happier than ever. I'm like, you know what? Your words don't matter to me. You're entitled to your opinion. I'll sit. I'll listen to it. We can discuss it. But at the end of the day, if you're not going to like me, you're not going to like me.
Yeah.
But I'm going to still be happy with my life and the lessons I've learned.
Happier than ever, you say? You're happier
I'm
than
a better
ever.
Human being than I was when I walked in.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Happier than ever, he says. Happier than ever. All right.
Not
I think,
spoilable,
No. Yeah. Cannot be spoiled. Oh. We can't wait. We're so excited for these last few weeks. So, Clayton, thank you so much.
Thank you for coming.
In. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. I enjoyed it. So, I'll see you again. Maybe I'll see you guys again. Maybe.
I hope so.
We'll see what you guys tweet in the next few weeks. Yeah. Whether or not I want to come back.
We're going to be like, you're going to look next week, and it's just going to be all of us being like, wow, Clayton's doing a great job tonight.
Just to give you back.
He might have swayed us.
We shall see.
All right, that wraps up today's episode of Chicks in the Office. We hope you enjoyed it. We hope you enjoyed our interview with Clayton. And we will be back on Monday. Everyone have a great weekend. Love you. No.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Save big money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning architectural shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now.
Save